And I think we're live. Hello, everyone. My name's Dan. This is my friend Cody from East 10. Why don't you say hi, Cody? Introduce yourself.
Well, Dan, thank you for having me on. Yeah, I'm Cody from the East 10 Outpost, and I'm very happy to be on with you tonight, bud. Thank you for having me.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm glad you were able to hop on. I just felt like getting on and doing a little streaming tonight, and figured I'd give you an invite and help see about getting some of these other people to see who you are and what you like to talk about.
Well, I love it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So you were just telling me you're getting ready to take a trip.
Oh yeah. So my channel, for the last 3 years, I guess, which God, that it seems weird that it's been that long. I've done content on esoteric mysteries and history, some of the more obscure, fascinating things like elongated skulls, things like that kind of keep me up at night. So I've made content about it, but the real goal this whole time has actually been to go explore. That's before I ever started making content. I was standing in the kitchen one day and I told my wife, I was like, I can't just like do the normal life job anymore. I can't, I'm going crazy. I've got to find something that's going to get me outdoors. So I'm like looking at park ranger jobs and stuff like that. And then I was like, I wonder if anybody still like explores, like, is there anybody actually doing that? And I found that Will Brown was just starting at the time. Mike Collins was just starting at the time. And I found some of their earliest content before they Will started that whole tridactyl journey. So like I watched that all in real time and stuff, and I was like, yeah, people do explore. But right after I had found a site, the one that I'm about to go out to, my wife and I found out we were having our fourth kid, so seemed like a bad time to just like run off to the jungle.
Or the perfect time, depending on your relationship.
Yeah. It could be just the right time. Yeah. Lessons learned, number 5.
Sorry. Wife's watching off camera going, that fucking damn. Yes.
Bleach is going in the soup as we speak, buddy. Thanks for that. No, it worked out perfect because honestly, like I had no connections. I knew nobody in this field or in this wonderful niche we play around in. So I've spent the last couple of years making content and waiting for a decent time to just run off to the jungle and let my wife deal with the circus at the house. And I feel like the time's finally come. So I'm about to be heading down Sunday, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll be leaving my house and heading down to Mexico.
Dang, that'll be awesome, man. Well, I hope you have a lot of fun and get a lot of good footage and, you know, find some cool stuff. We will definitely be taking questions and stuff. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much. It's hard to type and talk at the same time. But yes, hello and thank you so much. And no, we're talking about Cody. Cody's a pretty cool dude. I met him a couple of times now. We were at first at the Cosmic Summit and then at Sedona. You weren't, or not Sedona. You weren't at Sedona. Scottsdale. You were at Scottsdale. Yep. Sorry. It starts to blend together all the different names, especially when they're both starting at S and in Arizona. It's like, oh, shit, man.
When I was in Scottsdale, I almost called it Sedona like multiple times because that was like the like big one last year, you know? So in my mind, like that was just like the buzz that I like still had kind of playing in my head about it. But yeah, no, that was a kick-ass event. It was great to get to hang out with everybody there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So yeah, you're pretty big in the elongated skull stuff, right? Like that's one of your big, yeah.
You know, I keep one on my desk. Not to say I'm obsessed or anything, but I do really like the elongated skulls. They're oh, it's not even,
it's off camera. Yeah. Pull it closer.
Oh, where am I? Oh, there we go.
There you go.
They fascinate me, Dan, because you know, something we were talking about off camera, there's trillions of examples of them that are very obviously modified, cranial headboarding, head wrapping. There's all sorts of methods that have been used depending on the time and the culture.
But there's some that kind of defy that and have these like consistent anomalies amongst a number of samples. And when you think about like the echoes of it that it even still carry in today, all the popple hats or whatever they call all those official church hats that are huge and ridiculous. There's a number of religions that still represent that, you know, giant top hat. And for what? Why, you know, all the way back in iconography, 10,000 years old, are people being represented, royalty, with those, you know, huge long hats? So that's one that keeps me up at night for sure.
Well, thanks, Drew. This is to help Cody pay for his kit and to help if his wife doesn't forgive him. Yeah, he's gonna need an apartment.
That's right. Whoever wants to fund my life insurance when she bleaches me, that would be great. Thank you. She'll say it was a jungle accident.
Have wants to know if you think that Atlantis was allegorical, or if it was for a bunch of seafaring nations. I was saying there, or allegorical for one or many seafaring nations, and which purported sites do you think might have inspired it?
You know, this is I've stayed quiet about Atlantis on my channel for a reason.
Well, you don't have to, if you don't want to.
No, it's okay. I honestly think that Atlantis was more than an allegory. The esotericist in me wants to say like, no, it was just allegorical, because like a lot of things are, and that's when you dig into the rabbit hole of history, you find that like a lot of things that are talked about in very real and very physical senses, they really were just meant as allegories, because they're just esoteric knowledge, and you have to have the knowledge of them just being that and not being an actual thing or a fictitious tale to be able to derive the meaning from it. So I always want to default to, oh no, it is just that. But I do think it was probably a place, multiple places, more likely than not. I don't think there was probably just one Atlantis. I think, where's the area that Randall Carlson's always looking at?
Azores.
The Azores. I think areas like that are pretty likely. But then you look at the Eye of the Sahara, which is exactly the concentric rings that were described. So I don't know. Maybe that was a ubiquitous feature throughout that civilization. Maybe they always had those concentric rings. But if there's one site that I would say, just based off of the story, it would have to be the Eye of Sahara. But if off the research that's been done, I would say probably out in the Azores.
Okay, awesome. All right, thank you. And I want to thank Hayden for the beer money, for Beer Cooper's Red Aussie beer. Damn. All right. Well, there we go. And they're asking if you got a. They're asking if that's a bong in the background there. It kind of looks like one. Kind of looks like a flower pot. But,
where at? Oh no! So that's a white pot. An Indian vase. Yeah, that's like a hand you know, spun. Is that? Am I using? I don't do pottery. I'm sorry.
That looks to me like that Patrick Swayze feeling up Demi Moore.
Well, so I've
what you were doing there. That kind of either that or it was 6'7". I'm not sure, but
I've got a hookah up there.
Uh oh,
not a bong, not the same.
Those not the same. Yes, those are indigenous Indian artifacts, not American Indian, Indian. Like
that's right. The real ones.
Some people say 7-Eleven Indian, and I think that's offensive. I call them Indians.
Some people might, not us.
I say Gandhi.
We didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. That's to me, it's a whole lot cooler. I think Gandhi's a great guy to use. As a matter of fact, when I was talking to Zahi Hawass on that Pierce Morgan thing, that was when he asked me, he said that they knew how the pyramids were built. So I was asking him about how they squared the pyramids, how they aligned them. And finally he said, who do you think did it? Aliens or some other culture? And I said, I don't care if Gandhi did it. I just said, you said you knew how it was done. How was it done? I don't give a fuck who did it.
You got to buy his book, Dan.
That's what Does he have a book? I wasn't aware. I'd never heard of it. He should probably promote it more. That way people would hear about it. And then we could, you know, he should probably talk about it every 14 seconds.
it's also very esoteric knowledge. Yeah, nobody knows it's out there.
You go to Egypt to buy toilet paper, and it's like, buy my book, buy my book, buy my book, buy my book.
Zahi's face. Welcome to Egypt.
Yeah. Zahi's face, buy my book.
Oh, God damn it, dude. You got a new product to launch there, Dan.
Oh, dude, damn. No, that's not, I got some actual merch now. That's actual merch that people are going to be liking. Rue wants to know if you're going to be broadcasting from the jungle. Sorry, I can't keep up with you guys. This is there's a lot of you talking here.
Okay, not like from the jungle, but that actually, like, we do plan on eventually doing our Breaking Ancient News show, because I'm going to be out there with Aaron Haynes, and eventually we would like to be able to broadcast live from, like, literally out at a pyramid. We're going to have to get the whole, you know, setup. What's Musk's Wi-Fi?
Oh, that's Starlink.
Starlink, yeah. So we'll have to get the mobile set up so that we can just broadcast from where the fuck ever we want. But we will do that in the future. So we'll do it from the hotel room at one night. We're going to link up with Dave, and the three of us will do a show one night and kind of recap some of what's been going on, because we've got some fun plans for the Blood Moon. That's, like, in particular, we're going to be out there, because this site I found, it sits right on a magnetic anomaly, like a really, really tight one. A lot of the magnetic anomalies you'll see are, like, spread out and just kind of splugy. Not this one. This one's, like, really acute, pinpoint, and gets, like, more and more precise. And the site sits directly on the center of it. And that's not at all uncommon for the Maya. Like, a lot of the known sites down there sit on or within the boundaries of magnetic anomalies. Because the meteor that hit the Yucatan, right, that caused all sorts of magnetic anomalies down there. And there's a U.S. scan, a U.S.gov scan that they've done. So our tax money paid for it. So I was like, well, shit, I might as well use this as a resource. I overlaid it and checked out, you know, some of the spots and the coordinates I had found. And this one particular one lands right on one. So we're going to be out there on March 2nd and kind of check it all out, film it during the daytime. We're going to run some experiments with, like, you know, magnetic compasses and stuff, see what it does around there. But then the next night, we're going to go out for the Blood Moon eclipse, and we're going to film that out there. I'm doing, like, a whole ancient Mayan ritual on top of the site. It's going to be pretty legit. So,
no, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I've got all my shit packed up, but I mailed a obsidian blade down there that I have. I've got copal, like, authentic Mayan copal from down there. It's gonna be cool. So yeah. we're gonna get all that on footage and stuff for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That'll be fun.
As long as I don't get possessed, it'll be fun.
Well, but, you know. Yeah, use the clean fire, they called it, when they would use sacred fires, the ink anyway, when they would use sacred fires, they would light them on certain ceremonies, and they would be lit with a concave mirror, and they would light with the sunlight. That way the fire wasn't, it was a pure fire from the sun, not one that was corrupted from dirty dirt.
I like that. That's a good idea. So, like, I haven't put out any content in the last month, because I've just been researching how I'm going to do this ceremony, like, nonstop. Okay. Every bit of my free time I've been dumping into making sure I actually do this right. Cause first of all, I take pretty seriously, the occult aspects of this stuff. I know you'll only dabble so deep into the woo, but for me, I've seen enough because I'm no expert in like occult stuff. I've researched it, but I don't myself dabble. So, like, yeah. I only have an outside looking in kind of view, you know? So this will be my first like occult ceremony. I've never even played with a Ouija board because I think that shit's like bad juju. You know, I'm like, oh no. Like my buddies one time were like, hey, Paranormal Activity 2 had just come out in theaters and they were like, let's go back and play with the Ouija board. And I was like, I don't fuck with that. So I'm not one to like go do, you know, ancient rituals on top of Mayan pyramids during eclipses, but I don't know. I felt like super called to do this. The trip happened to align perfectly during this eclipse. So I don't know. I've taken it seriously. I've taken the calling I've felt internally seriously, and I've done a shit ton of research. So it's awesome. It should hopefully be pretty cool. What you said about the purifier, it got me thinking. That's why I got the Copal. Because have you ever read the Paul Paul Vu? Mm. So, you know, that's like how I forget what are, I can't say all their names in Maya, but Little Blood escapes from Xibalba is by tricking the Lords of Death with the Copal resin, the sap. So, that's part of it. I'm going to have to call out all 12 Lords of Death by name to disarm them as I burn this Copal resin. Oh, to make sure that, you know, they're not fucking around with my ceremony. So
light it with pure fire. Why not?
Yeah, I'll light it with my pure fire. And yeah, I don't know. Wish me luck, because it's not often I go on magnetic anomalies during lunar eclipses and call out death lords from Xibalba. But
what do you do? Right. You know, when you're in Rome, right?
When in Rome. Yeah, that's.
I mean, people, you know, I discount that kind of stuff a lot. It's like I did sacrifice a chicken when I was watching news radio back in like 95 and said that if I could meet Joe Rogan one day, I'll kill another chicken. And so I had to kill another chicken. But that's a joke, obviously. It's not a good one, because if you're a chicken, it's pretty offensive.
I was taking notes. I was like, oh.
You meet Joe.
Sacrifice the chicken. And
gets that was me. Graham Hancock. I said that I wanted to meet. But no, I do. I've told this story before. I don't know if I ever told you, Cody, but honestly, one of the things that really made a pretty big skeptic of me was when I was I was in the bathroom and I'd recently watched Back to the Future and seen those dudes in that yellow hazmat suits where Marty and Doc are running around in them.
Yeah.
And I just got out of the bathroom and I looked out the window. I just got out of the tub and I looked out the window and there was a dude in a yellow hazmat suit like staring at me. And like I could see his face and he did not look happy. And I was like freaked the fuck out. And I almost ran out of the room, but then I just kind of went like that. And the window was an old wavy glass. It was foggy. The light was reflecting on it weird, and my brain filled in the gaps. And had I ran out of that room, you would have never been able to convince me that there wasn't somebody standing there, because I saw the motherfucker's eyes. But there were no, my brain just did. So ever that really had a big part of me becoming a skeptic, because I realized at that point, it's like your brain will fucking trick you. It will trick you so hard. And you see this on a little levels. If you take a slide projector and you shine a slide of a picture of a dolphin, and it's shining on a black wall, so you can't see anything, but you take a white stick and you start waving it, you'll see that whole image, even though the white, you're only ever seeing a little tiny piece of it. Your brain just keeps the other pieces to deduce what's going on there. And, you know, sometimes another thing is every eyeball has a blind spot, right? There's one little spot of our retina, but can you pinpoint it? Fuck no, because your brain's just like, yeah, we'll fill that gap. Paste right over that bitch. So when you realize that, and then you like, you anyway, that to me, I'm a big, big, big part of it's why you'll always hear me picking on psychology and self-reported data, because it's fucking worthless. You can't even report to yourself. Actually, truth, thine own self be true. LOL.
Yeah. they don't know shit about that. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's for me, I've never even had any sort of profound supernatural experience that makes me, you know, I know these things are out there. I'll tell you, I did have a, have you ever heard of the like missing 411 phenomena?
That's the one where it's like people in parks and shit that they just kind of fucking disappear and like they.
Yeah,
I've seen. I think I've seen Mr. Balin talking about it a few times. It seems like. Is that right?
So, yeah, and there's, it's been a long running case study and it's fully acknowledged, and there's a lot of reports of people that have either been in proximity to people that have gone missing in these like very mysterious ones, or people who themselves did actually go missing for a period of time, but then somehow were able to be found and returned. But it's called the Silence. And it's, I was actually up on Mount Shasta. And when I was in my teens, I didn't know what a paranormal hotspot Mount Shasta was, which is weird because I was into paranormal stuff. But Mount Shasta, for anybody who doesn't know, is like a hotbed of all sorts of crazy bullshit, from the most ridiculous UFO things to religions that have been created about Mount Shasta to like all sorts of supernatural stuff. It's supposedly a portal according to the Native Americans. So like Mount Shasta itself is a long-standing supernatural hotbed. And somehow that completely eluded me as a teenager. And every year we would go on a fishing trip up there. My dad and I, and we would have a houseboat, and we would find like a real secluded area up there. We would dock the houseboat. I would do the tournament occasionally, but more so I like to hike. And I would just find a stream and I would just follow the stream as far up the mountain as I could make it before I got too hungry, whatever, needed to go back. So one year I had gotten a ways up. I would say probably about 3 or 4 miles up, and it got completely quiet to the point where like I didn't even hear the stream, which had gotten pretty wide at this point. So I had left just like following the side of it and was now like up to the side of it. It was just completely quiet, and I wouldn't have noticed if there wasn't a snake up on a log in front of my path. And I was just like looking at the snake coiled up in front of me, and it had this like weird shimmer to it. The light did. And that's kind of what caught me and stopped me, is because it was like almost like a spotlight perfectly on the snake. And then I threw a rock at it, and I realized the like rock hitting was the only sound I could hear. And it's like little bounce. And I looked how far I was away from the stream, which was not 15, 20 feet, maybe close enough to definitely still be here in the fucking stream.
Yeah.
And, the only thing I knew about was like, you know, when predators are nearby, oftentimes the wood will go quiet. And it wasn't until later, like the stream being really quiet, I realized like how unnerving that actually is. But, I bolted out of there, and I guess that would probably be my only, and then like as I went down, the sounds of the world did just return, and that's all there was to it. And if I had never read any of the missing 411 cases, I wouldn't even consider that as a paranormal experience. But I do think there is something to those. And that's kind of the most frequent precursor to somebody going missing, is that silence. So I think that would probably be the only thing close to a paranormal experience I've had. But I don't know. I've always believed in the stuff, and I think it's kind of fun. And very serious people, like people who run the planet for always, have believed in this shit. So
yeah, that's to me where it starts. The stuff gets weird, because there is like, it's like the psychic stuff and whatnot. It's like, on the one hand, the psychic phenomenon and whatnot, the skeptical part of my mind is just like, you know, if people had these abilities, it would be part of our life at this point. We would be seeing it.
Oh, shit. And they would be millionaires. Thank
you,
Nick. Right?
Every psychic. You would think, right? Yeah. But on the flip side, then you have government money at it during the Cold War, not just a little bit.
Oh, shit. Am I losing you? Uh-oh. Everything's frozen for me, Dan. I don't know what's...
And we're back. Sorry about that, everyone. Thank you for bearing with us. I don't know what the fuck happened there, but here we are.
I'm a fucking curse on electronics. I'm sorry. It's me. I'm the problem.
Oh, well, I appreciate you cursing this stuff. Dan froze out. Yeah, I did. Thank you. I was scrolling back to thank Nick for the 10 channel memberships. Man, we really have a robust chat tonight. I'm really sorry I can't keep up with you guys. But yeah, we're back anyway. So, yes, real ones stayed. Most of you stayed. I'm looking at the numbers here, and I lost like 12 to 15 people, which is kind of amazing, all things considered. By now, I would totally be looking at either a cat video of some John Lennon song or some hentai or something. You know, it just depends on what generation.
Depends on the mood, yeah. How many years in?
At my age, you just look at those octopi and you're like, oh, you lucky bastards. We love you too. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Here's to all you awesome motherfuckers.
Yes, yes. Thanks. Thanks all for staying. It's pretty interesting stuff all in all when you consider the way that the elites and stuff, they all were like kicking off the magic stuff is something that they definitely lean into. And while not all of them, but a lot of them. Yeah.
Lean into it's a bit of an understatement. They like dive into that shit head first, fucking Crisco themselves up into it.
Oh, no, that's interesting, Hav. Yeah, sorry, I'm having a hard time keeping up with everybody's questions, man. I apologize. But yeah, that is an interesting idea that maybe somebody has super stamina with the 411 thing. But as many as, you know, most, how do you put it? I'm very skeptical about most things. But when it comes to human fuckery, I'm pretty unskeptical. The only part of that that I'm skeptical of is like, you know, like take too many people involved in a conspiracy theory and I start to, you know, it gets unbelievable once you pass about 100 people. How the hell are you going to keep all those mouths shut? Yeah. Right. You know, they couldn't even all the billionaires on the planet couldn't keep Epstein Island under wraps back in the day.
And they weren't even trying, turns out. They've been flagrant for a long time.
You know, you do it the best you can. Yeah, I was a prison guard for 5 years, so almost nothing surprises me. Yeah.
Oh God.
But yeah, now that's where I would get fired from a job like that, because if I was doing strip searches, I would always have it playing Into the Great Wide Open by Tom Petty and shit like that.
Just whistle it when you know where you're doing it.
Touch Me by Samantha Fox.
Oh God. You know, when I go through the TSA check, I'm going to whistle that the whole time they're like doing the back bat.
Oh, I was just, every time they run their hands on my, I just, they stop real fast. They stop real fast.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no, I'm doing it, Dan. I'm doing it. One more, please.
But you are a Sparky's. God. I am surprised you managed a kid. Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah, you gotta have a lot of fun, man. The airport security thing sucks, but you gotta have a lot of fun.
You always gotta have fun in life. I was just thinking the other day, like, it's right now, especially, there's a lot of doom and gloom. And like, as I get ready to go down to Mexico, I'm sure you've seen all the shit that's like allegedly popping off in Mexico.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. But like, they said that the Mexico airport was like getting fucking bombed and like cartel was running through there shooting people up. The day after that was allegedly happening, my partner's flying through there in the airport. And he's like, no, man, I've walked through the whole fucking airport. Like, nothing's boarded up. I don't.
Hey,
there's not cartel people running around, you know.
Just go for it, man.
Yeah.
Zahi Hawass famously said that it doesn't, he's talking about during Arab Spring when all that shooting and shit's going on down in Egypt. He says it doesn't matter what those what is happening in Egypt, those new age people, they will come. Fucking
yeah.
Do it, Cody. Show them it's true. Just fucking doesn't matter. Cartel schmartel.
Right there. Yeah.
Just don't talk shit about them when you get down there. Show respect. Don't be like some guy who's going around talking smack. But, you know.
True story. I've been going down to Mexico to fish my whole life. But on the Bahia side, right? My dad and I even have a house down there. Like, we own a house down there. So it's like we go down there a lot. It's a thing. I've been held at gunpoint twice in my time going to Mexico. Once was by federales, once was by the Navy.
All right.
Neither of those times were by the fucking cartel. So, like, I've dealt with crooks in Mexico. Oh, I have.
Mexico's
the government.
When I used to sell stuff on eBay a lot, I had a lot of these video game posters and shit, right? And so there was a dude that was a attorney in Mexico City that would buy massive amounts of shit from me. He would spend crazy money. And so clearly he was a prosecutor, by the way, in Mexico City. Having that kind of money as a prosecuting attorney, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So, but it does, but it doesn't, right? It's not, clearly under the table. So at one point...
But he's really good at his job.
He's really good at his job. So at one point, somebody else in Mexico has stole, like, the item had showed that it was delivered. They claimed it wasn't delivered. And this is one of those times when eBay was being douchey and this guy got his money back. And so because of the shipping, that would, the cost was like, I was a $20 game cartridge and like $30 shipping. So I emailed this dude, the lawyer guy, and I told him that I was going to quit shipping to Mexico because of this. And he emails me back, and he's like, just tell me who and where. 2 days later, he emails me a link to a Mexican newspaper article that's translated to English. This dude got, they fucking arrested this guy for mail fraud, him and somebody else that was involved, or the postal workers or some shit. But it was hilarious. I was just laughing my ass off, like, yeah, okay.
Over you can keep shipping posters to Mexico, right? Shit. Yeah.
He wanted me to keep selling posters in Mexico.
I got you, Dan. Senor Dan.
I didn't even know what I emailed the dude. I was just like telling him because he spent thousands of dollars on me. I figured the least I could do is be like, hey, man, kind of a last chance. You might want to look through what I got there, make an offer, because next week I ain't dealing with Mexico no more. Fuck that noise. You're man, still dealing with like Mexico.
He didn't end up in a fucking carpet. Like, he just got arrested for mail fraud.
Oh, dude, yeah, I've listened to some of the cartel stories and stuff, man. Holy shit, you don't want to fucking clown with those boys. I forget the influencer's name, but he like was just talking. He was like all this younger guy that was like all rich and drove cars and shit, and he was talking shit about El Mencho in one of his videos, and like he's just like he was streaming all drunk, and he's talking about he's the baddest Mexican ever, and then just like one of the cartel leaders he was talking shit about, and his friends immediately like, oh fuck, no. And like just a couple days later, that motherfucker got in a nightclub. He's like in a nightclub, a bunch of dudes just come in and shoot the fuck out of him. Like,
Jesus
like,
Christ.
God damn. There was a prison that a bunch of cartel dudes were in, and another cartel wanted the guys from the prison. They fucking posted video of them loading their boys up in a bunch of SUVs, going and killing the guards, going in and taking motherfuckers out of prison, putting them in.
You ain't even safe in fucking prison.
God damn, dude. So anyway, have fun down there. Be safe.
But for any cartel members watching, I think you're all probably very lovely people. I'm poor as fuck. Yeah. I have nothing of value. Nobody can pay my ransom. So we'll call it good and avoid each other.
No, people are calling mean names now. Dang, dude. Was that supposed to be English frost brain? Is you talking to me? Am I frost brained? I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. Maybe I'm frost brained because I don't know who he's talking about. I'm not sure. I was babbling there for a second, so it might have been me, but I'll believe in democracy when I see it happen. Dude, the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea has been proving democracy works for at least 70 fucking years. What is your deal? Jesus Christ.
Kim's a very well-loved man around there is what I hear. Mutually voted on by everybody. Nobody doesn't not vote for him because he's super popular.
Yeah, that's right. I would cry if I saw his dad die too. I have a South Korean friend. I talk to every now and again. But me and him went to college together. He was fucking hilarious, this dude Sung Ho. Yeah, he was so great talking about all kinds of goofy shit like that. He'd talk about how weird North Korea was and how South America is or South Korea, excuse me, is like so much better than North Korea. Well, my favorite
he's like joke, churning out the propaganda.
Oh, dude. He just told me, he's like, people in North Korea, when they come to the South, they don't even have food. And he's like, they come and they're hungry and they starve. They're starving. But
that's a hard way up there. There's such a popular president.
A popular president. Somebody says a Dan for president, and I think that would be great. No, not Joe Rogan can't be president. He's going to be my bodyguard. I can't be his bodyguard.
Yeah, he's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
dude, yeah. He's one of those dudes where it's like you sit in the room with him and you're like, okay, yeah, you definitely go to the gym and you actually do it. Like, you're not just like some dude. Yeah, I go to the gym and fucking, no, like he's jacked. He's definitely jacked.
Well, like he's no matter how you know he's jacked is no matter how he's sitting on the table, he looks jacked.
Yeah.
And like most people have got to like pick an angle they look good at. Joe can like just be, you know, in his floppy form and still looking jacked. And that's how you know he's jacked. So, yeah.
I'm old enough to remember Joe Rogan with the full head of hair. Hell, I'm old enough to remember him on the radio. Me and him, when I was there the first time, me and him talked about Andy Dick a little bit and how he'd fallen off so bad. Because like when I first started seeing Joe Rogan, that was like his shtick on that show was bullying Andy Dick. You just go stand up and. Fear Factor, not Fear Section. Fear Factor. Yeah, they had to quit
that.
Doing
was my
that
first
one.
Exposure to Joe.
I don't know if you ever watched News Radio, but it is a decent show. It's a sitcom but it's funny. It was decent. It's pre Friends, like it. Oh yeah, it's like it's got the dude from Office Space, that's my red stapler dude. It's got that actor. He's the president of the place. It's got one of the dudes from Kids in the Hall. I forget everybody's name.
I'm horrible with pop culture stuff. I invest so little time into it that, like, oh God, and especially as I've gotten older, just shit's always way over my head. So, yeah, don't worry. I'm that way, too. I'm like, you know, the guy from the thing with the...
Oh, I could see it makes me sad because I could think it's like he was the voice of Blasto on the PS1. He was
that's the shit that matters, Dan.
Well, duh. Phil Hartman, thank you. There, Magic's got it. Phil Hartman, his
fucking
wife
blessed into the chat.
His wife shot him, and then she was all coked up, and everybody blamed Andy Dick because
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
She had been a coke addict before, and she got off of it, and Andy reintroduced her to it. And
wow,
so yeah, it's too bad. She was all like career jealous, basically. Like Phil Hartman was doing
Courtney Love shit.
Yeah, exactly. See, I've been saying for decades that Courtney Love, that there's no fucking way
everybody knew
there's no way Kurt Cobain did it. And people be like, oh no!
Imagine holding that shit, like the length he would have had to have on his own. Like just that alone is preposterous.
Well, yeah, and then it's like if you've ever done opiates in your life, you can only people that are addicted to something like heroin are not going to blast their brains all over the wall. They're going to drift to sleep and never wake up. That's how they go.
But definitely with the dose that he did.
Especially with the amount of money that he has. It's like he could just fucking, he could hypothetically slam 20 people's worth of fucking dope into his veins and fucking be dead in 5 seconds, right? You know, exactly. Kurt would have OD'd. This is a no-brainer, man. This is fucking no-brainer shit.
Can we give a shout out to Matt though?
I was going to say, yes. I don't know why they stifled his work at the end either. They asked him to remove all of his videos and shit about it. Did you know that? Like he'd taken all of his extra.
I know why.
Because they're fucking one of his, because they know that he's not that concerned with the like monetization part of it. He just wants to get to the truth and they wanted that.
I think there's a lot there and I think he kind of, he probably rattled a bigger beehive than maybe he thought. And that, I mean, when you start getting like cease and desists and shit, like motherfuckers are serious. So,
they are. And at the same time, it's like, I mean, if anybody that, there's two people that I know that if you serve them with a cease and desist and they decided to fight you, that doesn't matter if you're a fucking third world country or a fucking tribe of Native Americans or you're a fucking business. And Matt Bell's one of them, man. If you wanted fucking, that motherfucker can roll up his sleeves and fight you in court until the next Chicks Club crater is formed. And he can, he's perfectly situated to do such a thing. So he just, the thing is Matt's a good hearted person.
He is.
I saw it in one of when I had him on my live on my channel, like I'm having you now. He was somebody I forget who started flipping him shit for being an out of touch rich person, and Matt took the time not only to talk to the person in the chat, but he started talking to the person in the comments of that video and stuff afterwards, and like he took the time to like discuss as to why as to he was getting this criticism and stuff, and it's like, dude. Other billionaires just would buy your kid and ship it to an island in response to this shit, dude. And he's asking you questions. Fucking god damn.
Legit.
Dude, he's a good guy. Matt dude, Bell, so from how, the Limitless podcast.
How I got to know Matt was when I, like, right after I found out that, like, we were going to be having our fourth kid and everything, I'm like, okay, what the fuck am I even going to make content on? And Ben was just starting to, like, put out research on the vases. He had one scan out. One vase, one scan. And Matt had him on his show, like, right off the bat, first episode or whatever. And as I'm researching Ben and the vase stuff, Matt's premiering his episode, and I catch it like three quarters of a drop through. And so after the episode was over, I watched it all back and I emailed him and I was like, hey, I'm about to start making videos. The first topic I want to talk about is these ancient vases. I think it's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Is there anything you would be willing to share about yours? Because you mentioned that you've scanned one now too. And he said, yeah, actually, let me do a little better for you. And he shared the entire PDF document, like, you know, 300 and something pages, the complete thing, didn't redact a fucking thing. And he was like, you can use that however you want. And, like, he hadn't even published yet anything about it. And it was like, what? Like, I legit told my wife, I was like, and because he had, the email I could see had been, like, gone around by his, like, secretary, and Ryan was in there. And I didn't know Ryan at the time. Now I know Ryan. He's the greatest. I love Ryan. But, like, they were talking about it, like, you know, is there anything? And Matt in the email chain was like, yeah, I'll just respond to him directly. And, like, I could see that all up above in the chain below where Matt just is like, hey, Cody, yeah, I would be more than happy to share some with you. So, like, Matt could have just gave it to them to then share with me. Didn't do that. Could have given me nothing. Could have ignored me. And I mean, at the time, I wasn't anybody. And then, I mean, he had me on his show when I was at like 500 subs or something on YouTube. Like, just the most giving fucking guy. And I don't know. His aura is like overwhelming too. It, like, anyone who's actually around that guy, that shit's fucking wild. It's intense. Yeah,
and hey, yeah. Dave, it's good to see you, bud. I'm going to have you on here before too much longer, Dave, from Dave's Multiverse.
Hell yeah.
We'll get you on here before too terribly much longer. We had Shaman on. We had Jay on when it was, he just kind of snuck on. Like, I fucked up the day and he was in the chat and I was like, oh shit, get in here. And he did it.
That's awesome. He's a good dude. I love that guy.
Yeah, he is a good dude.
Definitely got to have Dave on. Dave rocks. That's my brother.
Oh yeah, Dave's a good dude. And he's had me on his channel a couple of times now. And if I was I was either going to ask him or you, actually. And the reason I ended up picking you to ask tonight was because I was just on his channel a week or two ago, and I figured waiting another week or so wouldn't be the same. Wouldn't be such a fresh conversation, right? Rehashing all of the same stuff.
So how's it been since the last time we talked?
Exactly. Well, you know, last week.
Yeah. Hey, so you're going to be out at Sedona, aren't you?
I am. Yes, sir. I'm going to be at Sedona. It's we'll be talking about the elongated skulls over on the Pacific Coast, the Pacific Northwest. I've got a trip hoping to do here in the next couple of weeks, maybe in next month, going to check out some sites and stuff over there. It's yeah. The more I look at the way that even the mainstream academics are saying that there was contact up and down the coast way back in the day, and the fact is, it's looking for structures in the Pacific Northwest, looking for something that was built, even if it was just a mound or something, it, you know, that doesn't, it doesn't seem all so crazy all of a sudden, because the people they were in contact with, I mean, they obviously shared a lot of stuff with the people that were building big stuff.
Definitely. And that's, I mean, the luckily we have people like Dr. Greg Little that's documented all of those works so extensively. Yeah. Because, yeah, very impressive and organized building was happening around this country clear back into prehistoric times. So it's I think that it's cool you're following that lead. Where can people where exactly and when can people catch that, Dan?
Sedona is May 1st through 3rd, Sedona,
quest
Arizona.
For
quest for ancient civilizations, yes.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
In Sedona, okay. Yes.
Cheap plugs, see?
Cheap plugs. Look at you go there. We have here, Shulman is saying that Dave is going to try to get kicked off tomorrow on YouTube. Him and Dave are going to be talking Cyclops tomorrow on YouTube. Now, he said Psyops, but I think he's talking about the X-Men.
That's going to be my headcanon, and if I tune in and they're not talking X-Men, now I'm going to be very upset.
No, that's my psyop. And see, that's what they're going to get banned for, is because they're going to be on there talking about people like Caitlyn Jenner that are X-Men, and so they're afraid they're going to get banned.
Look at you go, bud.
And the community note tag just got put on this video.
Yeah, and then suddenly we go offline again.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was a good run, boys.
The X-Men were X-Men. I'm finding like Mac Blagic 420 saying he wanted the X-Men 97 reboot to be better. And I'll tell you, this is one of the things that I'm finding so sad, is anything that I go to revisit, if it's not like video games and movies are glorious because I can just go and buy the game. The movie. And back in my day, we didn't have these fancy update bullshit. You bought the game, and if it didn't have an ending, you fucking didn't get to finish it.
That was so, the end of that. Yeah.
It's the same as it was back in the day. But I went to go play Magic some, and it like Magic the Gathering, and it ain't nothing at all remotely like it was. Warhammer 40,000 ain't fucking nothing is not even close to what it was. And it's just all these things, and it's so sad. So yeah, video games fuck the world.
Okay, but I'm a big Fallout fan. Did you ever play that one?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so I didn't play the PC games. I came into it at, before New Vegas, like so
you,
I started.
You didn't get into it until it was first person version and stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. No. When it was on the modern consoles, that's when I got into it. So, for the people who had played it on consoles, and you know, you had that isometric view, the game was nothing like what they knew. Exactly. So you had those people that were like, Fallout's changed. It's different. It's not my Fallout. And it wasn't. But for people like me who joined it at that time, that's the Fallout that I know. And to go back and like try and play the PC games is like, because it isn't my Fallout. So like, there's always going to be the part of it where you have to do that to get the new generation of people, but you got to try and keep enough, I think, carryover so that you can maintain that core audience, that because there's always going to be a continuation generationally. You're not going to have a complete fall off. You're always going to have the people going, hey, I remember that shit. I had a good time with that when I was younger. I want to try that again. So it has to be familiar enough, whether it's a movie or a video game, that those older fans can dive back in and it still be enough of the thing they remember.
Yeah.
Well, it's that they want.
I mean, the thing is, I've been out for a long time and to begin with in these things. And then like when you come back, the money grab side of things has gotten worse, right? Like it's like video games as far as that goes. If I go play Wolfenstein 3D, we didn't have loot crates or fucking any of that bullshit and doing loot crates or any of that. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just a different ball of wax. But the like miniatures and magic cards and stuff, those just, they don't even feel even close to the same. When miniatures are a great example, the plastic miniatures in the 90s were shit. They look like crap.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. Oh my God. But nowadays, if metal miniatures look like crap, painted them plastic. Oh, yeah. I still paint them.
Fucking Sharpie.
When I get around to it, hell, I got one of those fucking little bastards.
Oh, you don't get them already inked?
Oh, hell no. I paint the little crappy bastards myself.
Well, fuck yeah. There you go. You're still doing it right then.
Well, you know, it's old man disease gets to play out a little bit, but
get in there with the toothpick.
But anyway, yeah, it did little bitty paintbrushes and shit. But anyway, yeah, this guy, there's the other reason I brought this down, because somebody, Blizzard, what's his fuck, was whining. Can you see what kind of skull would this guy have? What kind of skull, Blizzard? What kind of skull would this guy have? Would it be elongated? All right, I'll sit down and shut the fuck up. This is my channel, not yours. Anyway.
Tell him, Dan. Yeah, see,
that's right. We put him in a little thing. Space elves. Hey, thanks, Mac. I did my best.
You know, something Dave has said before that, like, I'm starting to feel is completely accurate. Like, the more shit that comes out about history and that I learn, the more I feel like the ancient past, like, especially the pre-Diluvian past, it really was like Lord of the Rings. Like, this world was fucking weird. We had hobbit people. We had, like, weird dragon skull people. We had big-ass Neanderthals and little hominids. Like, there were all sorts of weird fucking hominids running around here. And that's not even if you want to get into the giants and shit like that that is in dispute. Just the stuff academia acknowledges.
That we know of, yeah.
This planet was fucking weird, man.
Well, dude, I mean, yeah, and the thing is, like, as we start learning more and more, you know, like, I recently was watching this thing that were, and I didn't dig too deep into it, but a guy was talking about them deducing bird language. There's Nick in the chat talking about they found a new type of hominid from like 30,000 years ago. All these, you know, there's so many things that are so different that, like, I talked about this a long time ago, but it's one of the things that when you think about things like how we use any living organisms, will use any stimuli they can. If they can evolve to sense it, they'll end up using it to tell themselves about their environment.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of chemical signals that are going on in the forest between plants. Like, if you go,
Very damage toxic.
One species of plant, it'll make out like chemical cries and stuff. Now, it's not insane to think that some people or some animals evolved the ability to detect that, but you wouldn't have a easy way to pinpoint that and just be like, it's not the same as smelling something or hearing something. It's just
a completely different sense.
That sixth sense, kind of the hairs in the back of your neck stand up shit, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of little things like that I think that people, that sounds like woo, that sounds crazy. And it's like, well, yeah, on the one hand, I could see where you'd say that. But on the other hand, doesn't it sound crazy to think that there is these chemical signals going back and forth and other organisms wouldn't evolve to pick up on that? I mean, that's like, sound isn't like inherent to every environment in the universe, but things that are around here pick up on it and start fucking using it, right? It smells the same way. It's like, it seems to me obvious that anything like that is at least worth investigating.
Well, you're completely right. If you, there's a lot between insects and reptiles, of animals, and I mean, even some mammals that can smell and taste fear pheromones from us, like bees, snakes. Yeah. They know when you're afraid, and they can taste it. They can smell it, literally. Yeah. And that's a concept that makes no fucking sense to us. And the other thing is, we're like, as humans, we're potty trained to pay attention to certain senses and certain stimuli. Societally, we're rewarded to pay attention to some stimuli over other stimuli. So I think like you're saying of trees connecting and something being able to pick up onto that, there's always going to be something in nature that exists, you know, to satiate another part of nature. Nothing that I have ever seen seems to be exclusive to a single part of nature. It always serves another part's former function. And because that's the way the grand design is, right? Everything serves some sort of form or function. Even things we like to think are super fucking pointless, like wasps and stuff. Yeah, at the end of the day, yeah, they do have some functions.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that it is, I think, not even woo to consider extra sensory abilities. And if anybody's ever met a sensitive or is themselves inherently sensitive, you can pick up people's vibes, and that's not a sense, you know, or a taste or a smell or a sound you're picking up on. It's something, a magnetism that you can feel and understand intuitively. And if we hone those things and if we pay attention to those feelings, you can work that out like any other sense. So I don't even think it's the least bit woo, but the old world, that was their science.
Yeah. Right. I think there's a lot of things like that we don't, I think the way that skeptics end up like pushing people to potty train their brain, like I like the way you put that. It's like a great example of there's just a lot of ways that they just push people to think that are just counterintuitive and not even really intelligent. Like a great, probably the best example that I think most people could understand this one, especially in the modern day. The idea that there's life out in the universe, ain't nobody gonna argue with that. Pretty much anybody with their head on their shoulders, they would agree there's probably life somewhere else out there. Aliens exist.
Can do math, it's likely.
Okay. So that's not a controversial statement. But if you say, hey man, maybe there was life on Mars, and then all this, even if you don't say it was intelligent life, maybe there used to be life on Mars, people start looking at you kind of skeptically. I don't know so much. And it's like, and then you say, so if you posit, you know, transpermia or whatever they fucking call it.
Transpermia.
That's whether you get even more. Oh, that's just insane. That's just ludicrous. And it's like, well, look, man, if we know that if you accept that somewhere else out there in the universe, there's life, this solar system we already know has life. So that right there puts us way fucking ahead of all the others. And we know we've got life on this planet that can survive a voyage through a vacuum and still be viable, like those water bears and shit. So at that point,
we're not that special.
Well, at that point, it's like if you're looking at solar systems in the universe that may have life outside of Earth, our solar system still comes up number one as the places to look for life outside of the planet Earth, for places you would expect, because we fucking know for a fact it exists here, and we know for a fact there are some beings that can survive travel through a vacuum. So it's not even would they have even said that maybe the Chinese dropped off some fucking water bears on Mars by accident and shit? It's like, dude, well, if the Chinese have made it happen by accident, what's to say that one of these rocks that hit the planet did? 101 billion different possibilities that are more likely than just picking some random solar system out there out of a hat. But we've been trained to think that that's what everything I just said was tinfoil nuttery.
Yeah, it's, well, I love hermeticism and the principles, right? And one of the things that I like to think about is the relation between things like hot and cold and stuff. They are the same thing, temperature, right? One's hot, one's cold, but it's still temperature. Where do you actually draw the line between hot and cold, right? It's a very gradual, and to me, that's science and magic, or woo. Like, science is explained woo. We have quantified something woo, and now we can say this is settled science. Magic is just unquantified woo.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it. So I think when we consider, you know, things like resonant technology, or, you know, even the like piezoelectric qualities of certain stones, like in the Great Pyramid construction, and some of these, you know, the ley lines and things like that, using Earth's natural magnetic powers and influences, that gets brushed off as woo. And it's like, but it's not even woo. It's just science we haven't actually researched diligently and can't quantify. But we can recognize it, and lots of other people have recognized it. And if you put this shit up in a fucking court of law, I'm pretty sure there's enough case that you could convince a jury there's some smoke to this fire. So, like, why does the academic community not take it seriously and want to actually look into those things and, you know, invest time and actual scientific rigor to figuring out those woo concepts and quantifying them? Because I like I say, to me, it's just the same scale and two different polarities of it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah, the hot and cold thing, I like to joke with that one a lot, because people will talk about, you know, they use all kinds of things where they, all kinds of examples of things that are polarized one direction or the other. And if it gets really polarized, then they'll talk like there is, but there's no middle, and it's just ridiculous. Thank you, Nick. What do you say? Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, known as Clark's third law. Yeah, that's true. Well, I was getting that there. Thanks, Nick. Yeah, I appreciate it. And for the chats there, I extremely appreciate that. Oh, Cody's breaking up on me. Cody, are you there? Oh, no. It's happening again. Oh no. God dang it. Oh no, Cody's gone. Where are you going, Cody? Am I still here? I look, Pixel is pissed on me. Oh, hey, come on. Oh no. Oops. God damn it.
There we go.
Okay. How am I looking? Do you see me now?
Yeah. You're good. It got really robot, and I don't know what's going on. My stuff shows I've got good reception, so I don't.
I'm still looking a little fuzzy on my phone, but maybe not. I don't know. Yeah.
It looks a little fuzzy, but it's not laggy. So there's that.
Well, that's good. Okay. All right. We'll see what happens.
People don't need to see us in HD anyway. It's honestly best that they don't. So plus 10 to the chat. You're all welcome for our internet problems tonight.
YouTube processing payment latency, Nick says. Yeah. Vaseline vision. Man, I haven't had that since I was in jail. Repeat the last 30 seconds. Repeat the last 30 seconds. No, I haven't heard that since on my last honeymoon.
Yeah, I don't even know where we were now.
Oh shit. No, you were talking about space and Mars and yes. All this stuff.
Yeah, no, I think it's likely there was life on Mars. And I don't know. Some of the Brian Corey Dobbs, right? I think that's his name. Some of the pictures he's put out, shoot, even some of the pictures I've seen Billy Carson show off. There's some weird stuff on Mars. Some weird stuff on Mars. I don't know.
Yeah, no, there is.
I haven't been to Mars.
I saw that picture of the little
from here.
Cylinder that they found on there, little cylinder looking thing.
Why do you think Elon's so hot to get there, right? I mean, there's got to be a reason, because otherwise Mars is a shithole, right? Well, there's no actual good reason you would want to go to Mars.
Did you ever read The Princess of Mars? The chicks up there are supposed to be stacked. So
well,
that explains it all to me.
Fair play.
Yeah. Thanks. Yep. Now we do have, honestly, I think getting to Mars and stuff would be, you know, Elon said this a long time ago now, but he said three things that he really wanted to see humanity do was, Francis is hitting it there. He wanted to see us become a spacefaring civilization. He wanted to see us use more solar power, and he wanted to see us use electric vehicles. So he opened solar fucking whatever the fuck it is, solar gayness, and the other two things that he's got, Tesla and SpaceX. I don't remember what the solar one is, but it's not doing so great compared to the others. Yeah. Repeat the last 30. Oh, repeat. Oh, God. His dad owns a diamond mine. SpaceX says Mars has babes. No, that's not SpaceX. That was who wrote that? The Princess of Mars. Damn it. Now I'm gonna draw a blank. I'm gonna be so embarrassed that I don't remember this. He wrote so much of that freaking schlock sci-fi stuff that was so good back in the day.
I don't know.
Io, Europa, yeah, that's the places to look for life.
The real society mystic. Have you ever looked into Maria Orsic or any of them?
Mm-mm.
Oh man, she supposedly blasted off to a place called Aldebaran, and the real society girls, like, I don't know if they were heading off to Aldebaran. Something popping must have been going on wherever the hell that place is. So
there you go. Edgar Rice Burroughs was the guy's name. Thank you. Yeah, it's crazy to think about. It's crazy in my mind to think about how much they don't want us to just talk about or to even speculate on this different kind of stuff. The idea that all different kinds of stuff. The idea that the world was more hobbity back in the day, because there absolutely was a Lord of the Rings type of thing going on where you had all these different people in contact with each other. You had, myth and science and history were all one and the same. And, magic was a fact to most people. You know, sympathetic magic, like the animism, a lot of people it's connected to. But sympathetic magic is things like you eat the heart of a lion because you'll gain the courage of a lion. Mm-hmm. A rabbit is a freaking talisman for fertility, and it's like an egg kind of thing. These things were very,
it still is in many parts of the world.
And it still is to a lot of people. And the thing is, I talked about this a little bit in my video on crystals. The thing is, there is, and this might be where some of the rich folk are plugging into stuff there. You know, if you take a lemon lime soda and it's Sprite, and then you just pour some red dye 40 in it, about 30% of the people are going to taste cherry or strawberry.
Yeah.
And that's you straight up change the reality of what their senses tell them is there, because their eyes are seeing it differently now. You're changing their perception on things.
Hey Dan, I got to restart this real quick. It's telling me it's about to log me off. Give me 1 second.
Go ahead.
Let me restart this.
No problem. He's going to restart that and come back. Has anyone found the 10mm socket? I'm sorry to say that I cut the end of it off, and I'm using it as a cock ring right now. So it's a little loose, but I just have to make sure I sit right or it'll fall off, but it's all right. too late on that one, dog. I already got it. He just popped in here to learn and listen. Oh, hi. Just popped in here to learn and listen. Hello. They are changing perception. Yes, 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 they are. It's possible we don't have light defined correctly. They're always learning stuff on that. Cody entered the studio. He's back. Ta-da. Viola, as the French say.
Oh, there we go. I did the whole like computer restart before we started, but it actually wanted to implement it. So it was going to make me close Firefox.
Yeah, all that shenanigans.
But yeah, no, you know, Hammurabi's code of laws, like the first written code of laws that we have, I'm pretty sure it's the second law on there, is about magic.
Yeah, I mean,
it was science of the old world.
Yeah, yeah, they, people believed in that stuff. It was, and a lot of that stuff, like what I, a lot of things would be easily mistaken that way. When I talked about the Baghdad battery, like I came to a conclusion. I think it was used as a way to mine, basically to. The way a galvanic cell works, if you were to use, instead of orange juice or whatever as an acid, if you were to use the runoff from a mine, like a gold mine or a silver mine, it would collect the gold and silver on the copper or anode, and your iron piece of the cathode in the battery would get smaller and like get pitted and be eaten away. And so this would look like alchemy to someone. They would watch sure. One piece of metal get smaller and it becomes another piece of metal over there. So you don't, like, these are the kind of things that without some science behind it, people would, and would believe that it was alchemy. And at that point, I mean, you do have like people turning one metal into another in their mind. It's very difficult to convince them that it's not magic at that point, or convince them otherwise.
Yep. Google, well, and I mean, like, it is magic in a way.
It is. I mean, yeah. It's incredible. Honestly, honestly, I think that that's what the Baghdad battery was used for. And I think that it explains why we see so few of them and so small, because you wouldn't want them to be, you wouldn't want anybody to know about it. Whether the government of the land knew about it or it was just something that some dumbass figured out. If you're, again, I don't think they were used as electrical. I think they were just using them as a way to basically pan for gold. If you figure out that you could take the runoff from a mine and extract minerals from it, it doesn't matter who you are. You don't want anybody else knowing you can do that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, like with the, why do the pyramids get shittier as they get older and stuff like that? I do think there's elements of that, that, because, as I've mentioned, I the esoteric studies fascinate me. The mystery schools, all of that. I love that shit. And you definitely find that you will hit roadblocks. And if somebody's not willing to give you the key, that's the end of the road. So you can easily see if you've pursued mystery logic and knowledge in any way, how that kind of stuff could get lost and how esoteric information could easily die out if a guy that is the sole keeper of information in an area back in the old world, who, yeah, was planning on passing it on one day, let's say he just, you know, gets hit by a cart in the market and fucking dies, twists his ankle and gets a sickness and dies, never passed on that knowledge. Now it's gone forever.
Yeah.
It could be that easy to lose highly esoteric information.
Oh man.
So I think it's possible, you know?
Yeah. I've taught the example I've used on this one for a while because it's so tangible is, World War II, there was a lot of impromptu this is and that set up, and one of them were sniper schools. They would have a sniper school set up all over the world, and they were impromptu and unofficial, and when they started tightening the belts, these are the first things to get closed when they started, you know, getting to worry about their budget. So you get 25 years later, dudes are over in Vietnam, 20 years later, they're over in Vietnam and they don't have any sniper schools and they've got better weapons, but the NCOs are quickly asking for trained snipers. And so the first round of snipers that were trained by U.S. Olympic marksmen because we didn't have, they'd fucking close all the schools. And in one generation, we lost a lot of knowledge and we were getting worse results with better weapons, better tools, worse results. Yeah. In one generation. Wow. So yeah, the reason I usually bring that one up is in regards to stoneworking. You think about if you go with just mainstream timeline, you're talking like 2.5 million years or so of stone being the number one building material, the number one tool material. So you've got father teaching son for literally millions of years. And then metalworking comes up and in just a few generations, it's like, what you know about horseback riding compared to what your great grandpa knew about horseback riding. It's, you might know a little, but it's fuck all compared. And certainly when you start talking about the ins and outs of the real esoteric part, the good part, the part that separates the men from the boys, as they say, he'd be laughing at you, right? He'd be laughing at you. Even if you're good at it by modern standards, he'd be laughing at you. You're like, fuck, that's what I was doing when I was 12, man. What the hell's wrong with you, boy? Are you sitting around playing them damn Nintendo tapes all day?
Yeah. No, it's that is a really good example because it can happen that quick. And I think it's reasonable to assume that it probably has in a variety of fields, in science and, you know, masonry. There's probably been a number of times in history when societies, even if the society itself continued to progress, certain aspects of it take a big step back because the one keeper of that information died an untimely death without somebody getting it passed on, or the person who it did get passed to didn't do their fucking job to actually, you know, continue to perpetuate it further. So It's interesting to look at it and see, because like the Maya are one that are like that. The classic period is their greatest. And then for 2,000 years, they go into decline. But they show up basically fully formed. And that's one of the things. I got to talk to Greg Little recently on my channel, and I haven't even put out the video for it. But I've been developing a theory for a while that I call North America First, just because I wanted to piss off as many people as possible. So I'm going to call it North America First. And the idea is mound culture is actually the progenitor civilization that people are looking for when they think about the Maya and the Olmec and who that mother civilization is. It's the mound people. It's the Mississippians. And Dr. Little actually thinks my theory's got a pretty good amount of weight to it. They would have shared their knowledge of the cosmos and their like motifs and some of their it seems like just societal shaping techniques. In return, they got things like maize, you know, turquoise. They got feathers from macaws and whatnot. So there was definitely a trade happening, but the trade aspect that the Mesoamerican cultures got, which would have been just a quick jaunt across the Gulf of America / Mexico, that would have been an, which we know for a fact the Mississippian culture was traversing the Gulf. So I think that's the mother civilization is the mound culture for the Maya and the Olmec, because they do show up just perfectly formed, and it's neat when you see that kind of stuff, but then just steep decline after that. So
no, it is. It was pretty amazing when you see the way you see the Maya do seem to just kind of pop up. The Maya and the Olmec seem to just kind of out of nowhere. about 5 minutes and I'm going to have to call it a night, but I wanted to get you to like plug your channel, your other spots so that people know where to find you. Besides, I've left a link at the channel down below, right before the link to go purchase tickets to Sedona. There's a link to go, subscribe to Cody at East 10. So, excuse me, go do that. And, anyway, what else do you got, Cody? Where else do you want people to find you at?
Well, I made it nice and easy. I am at East 10 Outpost literally everywhere. You can slap a .com to the end of it, and there will be a website in the future. There's like a drop page right now, but it's not set up. That's my email. It's my X handle. I'm on Instagram. I don't use it very much. TikTok, all of those places. But Dan, that's just between you and I, right?
That's only Dan's. Gotcha.
That's only Dan's fans. Okay. But, gotcha. It just at East 10 Outpost everywhere, but you can find me at Sedona. I'm going to be out there. I don't know what I'm going to be doing yet. I hope I'm going to be doing something like
you were the MC last time, basically.
Yeah. And I love that. I hope it went all right.
It went great.
Hoping to do that again at some point, but I'll definitely be at Sedona one way or another. I'll be at Austin. And I'm gonna be documenting a completely undocumented Maya ruin. So if you're interested in seeing that, be out there on the Blood Moon as well. Definitely subscribe to my YouTube. Check that out. Footage for that will be coming out. My video with Dr. Greg Little will be coming out soon. I talk with a psychic, and we were talking about the woo. That's all the conversation I had with her. Awesome. So I've got some great stuff coming up in the pipeline once I get back from this expedition. So, check it out. And Dan, more than anything, thanks for giving me the opportunity to hop on here with you. I appreciate it.
No. Thank you. It was great.
Oh, did we lose Dan? Is it just Cody? Am I backstage? I don't even know. Oh, Dan's back. Maybe.
What the hell was that?
Did you just yeet yourself?
I yeeted myself right out of the
screen. Oh, man.
Yeah, wrong button is right. I was just trying to tell Aaron, Seven Rin, but Aaron, I'm pretty sure is how I was supposed to say that. But yes, thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks for the super chat. And yeah. Thanks, guys. I got the wrong buttons there. I'm not good with this. I use the technology. It's my Nintendo tapes.
We're fucking boomers at heart, Dan. It is what it is, man. It is okay, what so it is.
What do I need, a screwdriver to turn this back on?
Did you blow on the cartridge to get back in?
I did. Something else I haven't done since jail. Okay. Anyway. All right. Thank you guys very much. All right. Thanks for being here, Cody. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Thanks for helping moderate all this, Nick. Muchas gracias. You're going to be on there soon, Dave. You're going to be on soon. And all right, everyone else, have a good day. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you.
Stay curious, my friends.